If you want to turn the lights off up here, make it clearer, that'd be fine. Thanks. So we've been spending the last number of months in the book of Ephesians. You remember that the first half, the first three chapters of Ephesians are a description of what God has provided for us. The last three chapters are how we walk this out. And so we're in chapter 5, the last part of chapter 5. We did chapter 4, or the first part of chapter 5 a few weeks ago. We called that walking like family. In the first part of the chapter, he says, walk as followers of God as dear children. So we're part of family, and we walk that way. Now the last part of this chapter, 17 to 33, I've called walking in family. He talks a lot about family relationships and what that looks like. I've got to just tell you this, that the Lord has really been speaking to me in the Sunday school lessons and in what I've been preaching. So if you feel like I'm preaching to you this morning, I'm preaching to me. So, because I need it. And so I want you to know that ahead of time. I just want to make one comment here about our Sunday school lesson, and that is about prayer. If you look at the book of Acts, you see prayer as a main part of the book. For most of us, most of the time, prayer for us is about somehow getting close enough to God to tell him what we want, and he'll do it for us. You don't have to raise your hand. That's the way most of us pray. What prayer is all about is, and you notice this in the book of Acts, prayer is about us finding out what God's will is. Remember the Lord's Prayer? Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's how we start our prayer. And most of prayer, and the purpose of prayer is to first of all find out what God's will is and then come into agreement with that, into alignment with that, so that we on the same page as God. When we know what God's will is and we pray that, amazing things happen. The book of Acts. And so pay attention to that as you're going through. Okay, let me just read first of all Ephesians 5, starting at verse 17. In verse 16, he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We don't need to be reminded that the days are evil, but that's the backdrop here. And so he says, wherefore? So you look back, what was before that was the days are evil. Walk circumspectly or with intense focus. So now, don't be unwise. Don't be a fool. But understand what the will of the Lord is. What is God's will? And so he starts to talk about some things that are God's will. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess. But be filled with the Spirit. It's his will for us to be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves, and that word yourselves there can have, it can have a personal meaning, it can have a group meaning. Okay? Just remember that. So it applies in both ways. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes in 1 Thessalonians 5 that we are to give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks. And you start going through the scriptures. Sometime do a study for yourself. What the scripture says about giving thanks. It'll change your perspective. Giving thanks for all things to God and the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. And this often becomes a proof text, a hobby horse, a thing where men try to intimidate women or their wives. But I want you to notice something. The very same word that says submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God is the same word as wives submit to your husband. So, guys, however you want your wife to submit, you show her by doing it. Amen? Don't be standing there telling her how she has to submit. You show her by submitting in your realm. Okay? Now that we got that straight, we'll go on and read. Okay? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now I want you to notice, he had three verses here, three sentences to the wives. The bigger part is to the husbands. Husbands, and the bigger responsibility, the bigger job that he gives. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, because of this, shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Apologize to those of you that had to listen to me through Sunday school and have to listen to me again now, but we'll get through that, okay? So, what kind of attitude should we display as children of God toward family? Is family important to people of God? Well, if you're going to be part of God's family, I'd say it should be important, right? So family is something that's important. How are we going to walk in family? How are we going to walk this out? What God has given us. God has made us his children. Through his grace, we become part of the family of God, adopted into his family, with an inheritance in the family, with riches in the family, with power in the family, back in Ephesians chapter 1. So how do our meditations affect our actions? You watch, just watch this in your own life someday. If you get out of bed and you start thinking about something that gets you all worked up, or worried or thinking all kinds of things that are not thoughts of praise and of worship and so on, you watch what happens to your day. I guarantee you, unless you change something, your day is going to be downhill from there. And then compare that to a day when you get out of your bed, or even in your bed before you get up, you just spend time in worship, in praise, you turn your heart to thanksgiving, and you just are in awe of what God has done and is doing in you and for you and through you and around you and who He is, and then see what your day goes like. I'm not talking about whether there's going to be bad things happen that day. I'm not saying that if you meditate properly in the morning, nothing bad is happening that day. That's not my point. But you can respond to that in a total different manner because of your meditations, okay? Oops, got to go back there. When our hearts are filled with praise and thanksgiving, how is our outlook changed? How is our outlook changed? Well, you know, you think about that, it just makes sense. If I am going along and I am just praising God and I am thanking God and worshiping God and something happens to me, does that derail me? No, I just keep right on worshiping and praising. Yeah, this happened. That's part of life. But I keep worshiping and praising and thanking. And that's why we'll get to that, but that's why he says, in everything give thanks. Now, here's something that we need to be thinking about. And the Lord spoke to me about this as well. We have the old saying, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And we often attach the responsibility of our household, of our family, to mama's attitude. And it's true that she spends more time with the children in most cases. So that does have its effect. But I want us to notice as we look at this passage this morning that God gives men, the responsibility for the atmosphere in our homes. Men have the responsibility for leading out in worship and praise and thanksgiving. And if your home is not a home with that kind of an atmosphere, don't blame mama. Just sit down and say, God, it's me. It's not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord. It's not the mama. It's not the children. But it's me, O Lord. Right? We'll look at that as we get into that. Then the last question for us to think about. When you talk to yourself, what are you saying? We all talk to ourselves. We do it. We're all doing it. What are we saying? We'll look at those things as we look through this chapter. Okay. Evil days call for wisdom. So here's what we've got to do. I'm not even going to go there. I don't have to try to convince you that we're living in evil days. Is there anybody that got a question whether we're living in evil days or not? I don't think so. We look around us and we just know we're living in evil days. And so he says, you know, because the days are evil, we need to understand what God's will is, right? And he goes and explains to us, here's God's will. God's will is that we are filled with God's Spirit. That's the first thing he says. Don't be unwise. Understand what God's will is. Be filled with the Spirit. Don't be drunk. Be filled with the Spirit. That's God's will. Are you? Do you want to be? Are you asking for it? You know, Jesus said, won't your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those of His children who ask Him? Just like a father whose children ask him for food, he doesn't give them a stone, he gives them a fish. He gives them something to eat. The Father, if you ask Him, will give you His Holy Spirit. Do I want that? Is that my will? Is that my desire? Just like it's my Father's desire. Now, secondly, we need to talk to ourselves personally and corporately. We need to talk to ourselves about God. Who God is. And we do that in several ways that he mentions here. First of all, he says we do it with psalms. What are psalms? You notice he doesn't just say sing, and that's a good thing to do, but he says there's different ways that we can do this. Psalms are singing to God with musical accompaniment. Why do we resist that? He says that's God's will for us to do that corporately and individually. Secondly, we're to do it with hymns. Oh yeah, we love that one. Hymns are those things that praise God. And we say, yeah, we're all about that. Well, that's good, but it's not enough. Thirdly, he says we're to do it with spiritual songs. Spiritual songs are songs where our spirit connects with God's spirit. We may call them emotional. It's where we are getting in touch with God. If you don't think I'm shooting straight here on these things, go look them up. You'll find these answers, these definitions. So he says we need to understand what God's will is. This is some more of God's will. God's will is for us to give. Always give thanks for all things. You say, well, that's impossible. How can I thank God for COVID? How can I thank God for cancer? How can I thank God for disaster? How can I thank God for any of these things that happen that I don't like? We can thank God for everything. Because everything that God allows into the life of His child is for their good and for His glory. The scriptures make it very clear that thanksgiving in all things is the will of God. Now, just like prayer, walking is the same deal. We have to discern what is God's will, and are we going to walk in agreement with God, or am I going to try to make things happen the way I think they ought to happen? Right? If I'm walking this Christian life and I'm going to make it work the way I think it ought to work, rather than doing what God says needs to be done, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. We need to walk in agreement with God. And one of those agreements is thanksgiving. I can't tell you how often, just not so long ago, we were headed to Davis County to help with a Land of Promise seminar. And we left a beautiful afternoon, sun was shining, and we took off, and I just the day before, got the oil changed, got the tires rotated, everything all ready. We headed over on the toll road, and we're just about ready to get off at Angola and hit something on the road. I saw it. We were fairly close to a car in front of us, and just at the last second, I saw there's no way to avoid any clunk, clunk under the car, and I didn't think much of it, and went a little further, and all of a sudden, flat tire. Pulled off the road, and it was right at the exit, so I kind of eased around the exit, went through the toll booth, and found a flat place there. And I'm the kind of person that doesn't like disruptions. And so right away, I started churning and made some phone calls and figured out probably the best thing for me to do was put the spare on and come back to Sturgis and get another tire. It was in the afternoon later. Had time to do that, barely. And I got out of the car. And when I got out of the car, I said to myself, the will of God is for me to give thanks. And right out loud, when I got out to get the spare out, I opened the back door, and I just right out loud said, thank you, Jesus. I bless your name. I give you honor and glory. You are worthy of praise. Something to that effect. And a peace came over my heart. And you know what? I did not even sweat changing that tire. And if you know me, that's not me. That's God at work when we walk out His will, okay? Does it happen every time? No. But I could give you instance after instance in my life where I came to a place where I knew that if I did not give thanks, the devil was going to have a victory and get glory rather than Jesus Christ. Giving thanks is a very important thing. Cooperating with the family because we're God's family. That's this thing of submitting one to another. That's the idea there. The idea is that we have a voluntary attitude of giving in, cooperating, assuming responsibility, and carrying a burden. That's from Blue Letter Bible in the Strong section there. We cooperate with family because we're family. That applies in our immediate family, that applies in our church family, and that applies outside of our church family in the family of God. We often want to limit these things to either our own personal family or our own church family. I don't find that limitation when I look at these scriptures. And I think we do well to recognize that. Okay, so he talks to the wives. And he says, wives, your worship of Christ affects your response, your attitude, your the way you look at your husband. You worship Christ. He's your head. But your husband is also your head under Christ. And it's interesting to me, if you notice the title there of this section, it's Family Based on the Triune God. I just recently read a book, and I highly recommend it. It's called Delighting in the Trinity by Michael Reeves. He talks about how it's necessary for God to be more than one person in one. And he talks about how Allah cannot be a worthwhile God because He is only one in Himself. And he relates that then to a number of things, but one of the things he relates it to is family. And you notice here we have a trinity. We have Christ, man, woman. And just like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit need to be one and work together in love to accomplish their purposes, and they do it because it's their character, we as husband and wife, together with Christ, need to be one and working together. In our lesson today, we saw that God's plan is for His people to show Jesus Christ to the world. And when Jesus was here, He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. And the message that Paul is giving here to the church at Ephesus is, as wives, as husbands, as family, we are displaying Christ to the world around us. What are we making Him look like? So wives, your worship of Christ conditions and prepares and motivates your response and your attitude toward your husband. Your husband is your head. This is speaking about a government type of thing, an order. It's not talking about value. It's not talking about lesser or more. It's not talking about any of the common things that are placed. Not talking about chauvinism. It's not talking about any of those kind of things. It's talking about how God has established things so that Jesus Christ can be glorified. God has given us all these things. We walk them out so that God is honored. Your posture toward your husband pictures the church toward Christ. Are you showing the world a proper response to Christ? All right, husbands. We carry the heavier responsibility by far. By far. If you sit back and you blame your wife for the way your home is or isn't, you just kicked yourself in the seat of the pants. You're stomping on your own toe. You're doing the thing we used to do when we were kids, right? Oh yeah, you got one finger pointing at me, three fingers pointing at yourself. That's exactly what's happening if you as a husband are blaming your wife for the way your home is. God puts the responsibility, the bulk of the responsibility on you and I. First of all, He tells us we're to love like Christ. Now, let me ask you a question. Which carries more weight, more responsibility? For someone to love and respect like the church is supposed to respect Christ, or for someone to love like Christ, which one is more? Obvious, isn't it? The church is imperfect. The church responds to Christ imperfectly. Yeah, we want to. But you know what? He's not saying husbands need to want to. He said you're supposed to love like Christ. Does that mean we achieve? No. I remember talking to my grandpa. I always liked to go to my grandpa and grandma's home. They had such a lovely relationship and always made people feel welcome. And I feel like they did an excellent job, both of them, in showing Jesus in their relationship. But I asked my grandpa one time, I said, "Do you love like Christ? Love your wife like Christ? Love the church?" He said, "I want to. But," he said, I haven't arrived at that yet." But that's what he tells us as husbands to do. Love your wife like Christ loves the church. Here's the picture. Like Christ loves the church. And that's a pretty straightforward, pretty perfect picture. You love like that. Okay, that's the will of God, right? Am I in agreement? Am I in alignment, or am I out of alignment? Where am I at? Okay? Secondly, he says, you give yourself for her, just like Christ gave himself for the church. Now, who does the most giving in your house? In your relationships? Generally, it's our wives. Our culture is kind of taught that way, thinks that way. The wife needs to do the giving because she's supposed to submit. But that's not what he says. Not what he says at all. He says the husband is supposed to give himself just like Christ gave himself for the church. That's how he's to give himself for his wife. Lay down his life for his wife. Well, we expect our wives to lay down their lives for us. So we need to ask ourselves this question. What am I giving? What am I sacrificing for my wife? Oh, I want to do this. Well, can you take care of the house for a week or two or three while I go do this that I want to do? What about if we'd say, honey, why don't you take a day off? And I'll watch the kids and I'll make the meals and I'll do this and I'll do that. Think that might change a few things? Here's one that really struck me. We need to be making our wives better. He said, we need to be washing them with the water of the Word. We need to be doing things for them spiritually that and physically that make them a better person. And so I have to ask myself this question. How have I made my wife a better person? How are you making your wife a better person? What are you doing that makes it easier for her to be what she wants to be and what she should be? You know what he says there? He said, Christ washes his church with the water of the Word so that he can present her to himself spotless and blameless. Well, we want him to be spotless and blameless without all of that. They're supposed to do it on their own. And if they don't, maybe I'll go down the road. No, that's not what he says. He says it's our job as a husband to help our wives become what they need to be, what they ought to be. The spiritual beauty of our wife depends largely on our love. Just like my own spiritual beauty depends on Christ. I'm the church. I'm part of the church. What I am, if there's anything of value, if there's anything of blessing in my life, it's because of what Christ has done for me, right? And in just that same way, the spiritual beauty of our wife depends a lot. Not altogether. We're not cutting a line here where if we don't help her, she can't have it. Some have to get it on their own because the husband doesn't help. But as husbands, that's our responsibility. So this is God's will. Paul's laying out God's will for us. Are we in agreement with it? Are we saying, nah, got a better plan? This didn't work for me. I'm not doing it. Whenever my wife decides to straighten up, then we'll work on this thing. No. Am I going to come in agreement with God, or am I going to take my own way? And how you think that's going to work out for you? We're to love her just like we love our own body. When you hurt yourself, do you tell yourself, just get over it? You stupid thing, why'd you do that anyway? Something like that. No. We say, oh man, that hurt. I need some help. I need somebody to feel sorry for me, whatever. But what about our wife? Do we love her like our own body? We're to nourish, that means to bring her to maturity. And to cherish, that means to warm her with love. Just like Christ has done us. Just the way He's treated us. You know, when we start looking at this, He doesn't really give us something that's that hard. Yeah, it's impossible, but it's not that hard. It's just like Christ. Just like Christ. And so we say, Father, I need the life of Christ in me. That's what I need. Do you think He wants to do that? What do you think? Kind of quiet. You think God wants to put the life of Christ in you? In me? Absolutely He does. He wants that to happen. He wants that to be happening. He wants that to be walked in our lives. And He loves when we ask that. And that's the way it's supposed to be with us and our wives. There's something that He mentions here that's very important. Leave father and mother. You are the head of your house, the head of your home. You are not to run your home like your father or your mother did, necessarily. And you are not to remind your wife of how your mother did things. Leave father and mother. Something that I didn't do well at. And number of years back, I recognized that and I apologized to my wife and family for trying to run my family in a way that would be acceptable to my father. Not a good plan. We need to run our family in agreement with God. And so Paul says part of the agreement with God is to leave father and mother. That's important. We're showing a picture of Christ and His church to our world by our family relationships. And that's in our homes. That's in our church. That's in the Christian family. All of the above. And it's important for you and I to come in agreement with God. Let me ask you something. What I shared this morning of what God is asking us to walk out in our lives, how many of you had a really hard time understanding what He's asking us? I see a lot of you shaking your head. No, I don't see any hands. You know what that tells me? Because I'm in agreement with you. That tells me that my problem isn't knowing what God wants. My problem is whether I'm ready to say, "Yes, Lord, I want the same thing." Or if I'm going to be proud and stubborn and whatever else might be included there and say, not me. I'm not aligning with that. I'm not in agreement with that. And again, how's that going to work out for you? How is it working out? Things going well? Things going a little tough. And we need to bow before our Lord. Thank Him. First of all, thank Him for what He's done for us, what He's given to us, what He wants to do in us and through us, and then walk out what He's asked us to do by His Spirit, which He'll fill us with if we ask Him. All right? Let's stand together for prayer.